I'm not claiming to be some kind of a perfect practitioner of things, you know? And in a lot of ways, I'm actually, part of why I think I'm recording this today is earlier when I said, you know, I woke up and I didn't want to practice, right? And I got myself to my meditation cushion anyways, and I did my practice, but I still need the reminder, you know? So I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to anybody here. Hi there. I'm Greg Flynn, and this is The Bind, a podcast for men and the people that love them. It's all about helping men untangle the beliefs and behaviors that keep us stuck, stressed, and in shame. You can't do this alone, guys. Thanks for joining me. Let's dive in. So I have missed this space. I'll be honest, I've missed this practice, which thinking about it as a practice will become hopefully clearer over the course of this episode. I've been wanting to return to it for a little while. I've been noticing something in me missing doing this on a regular basis. So I'm hoping to get back into that in some way. So this is The Bind. And for now, it is going to stay The Bind, although I think there are some changes coming. But I'm going to keep it The Bind at the moment, which actually feels really resonant because we just had a men's group this week on Wednesday, a couple nights ago, where the idea of The Bind for men came up really strongly. I'm not going to get into that right now, but it, so it feels really meaningful right now. But one of the changes I imagine coming to this is, and I think it'll be reflected in this episode, is for it to not only focus on men. Imagine actually really kind of focusing on life's questions, and that being something that's much broader than stuff for men. So while there will always be probably things woven in here because it's a passion of mine, and obviously I'm a man, and it moves through me in that way, I see that as being a shift. I do want to make a note here real quick that Jordan and I, we started this kind of trilogy of episodes, and we've only gotten 2/3 of the way through it. And that, even a couple of months ago, was the last time we released that second episode. So we are intending to finish it. It's just on its own time, apparently. So that's coming. It'll be happening. But I just couldn't wait because I was just feeling like wanting to get back into this, and there was this download kind of that came to me. It's actually a topic that is on my mind a fair amount. And there is, I have an index card on my desk that sums up what this episode's about. And that index card says, you are what you practice, because we're always practicing something. So I want to talk about practice. So ultimately, this is about who we are becoming and who we want to become as people, as living our full lives in the world today. Because, like I said, we're always practicing something, and that practicing builds on itself. So one of the ways that I pay the bills is I do work with organizations, I facilitate, and I do leadership development, and I do culture work. And I always tell leaders that your culture is actually made up of all of the many millions, actually, of small interactions that are happening between all the people inside of your organization. That's how a culture is built. It's not built in a workshop. It's not built by creating a culture map. It's built in actual human beings in relationship to one another. So if you want to change your culture, you change your interactions. You change the day-to-day, moment-to-moment things. Do a lot of work with meetings there. Like, that's a way to change cultures through meetings. But I think the same is true of our lives, right? Our lives and the way that our lives feel and how they're expressed are built in our day-to-day, moment-to-moment practices. The behaviors and our reactions in the world and the kinds of things that we're practicing. So the ways of being, we are practicing. So I want to actually take a step back right here at the front and offer a couple of definitions, because I'm going to talk about practice from two different places. I just talked about the day-to-day, moment-to-moment practices, and that is the first definition of practice. Like, as we practice, you know, if I practice driving recklessly, you know, and cutting people off and not really caring, then maybe that's how it just becomes ingrained in me. And when I'm on autopilot, that's how I'm going to show up driving. So our day-to-day, how we show up, what we do, the kinds of expressions we use, you know, if we go to the grocery store and the cashier has practiced asking, "How are you?" And we've practiced responding to that, "Fine." Right. And so that interaction becomes an unconscious autopilot thing that we're just all practicing together. There's no judgment on that. That's just how it works. So that's the first definition, right? So so a question here becomes, like, how conscious are we of what is ingrained in our consciousness? Like, what we're practicing, the think ways we're showing up. We all know the couple that fights, they bicker, right? Now, I'm not saying that this is the only reason that this happens, but, like, I know couples that bicker as a force of habit. And I have some in my life, and some of them are, I think, becoming more that as they get older. That's becoming more deeply ingrained in them. So, like, my mom says, as we get older, you become more of who you are. Right. And that's, like, an observation that she's made, is people becoming more of who they are. I've heard my wife say, and I don't know where, I'm not sure where she picked this up, if this was just her own thing, which wouldn't surprise me. She's brilliant. Or if she got it somewhere. But this idea of, we become more neurotic versions of ourselves, I've heard her say. I think we become what we practice. I think that the bickering between couples is actually something that's just been done again and again and again. And maybe it started for a really good reason. And maybe there's good reason. I don't know. Maybe there's good reason always. But think about it. If the way that you relate to your spouse is through bickering, how much harder is it going to be to relate to your spouse in some other way that maybe feels better to you, if you actually get really clear on what's happening? So that's how I'm holding definition one, right? How we show up moment to moment, day to day, we're practicing those things. Definition number two is intentional exercises, practices. See, I was going to save that one for last. I was going to say, intentional exercises, processes, and, well, practices, but I got ahead of myself, that we use to help shape the way we want our lives to be and feel, right? So that is the things we do. Like, we, you know, meditation is a practice. Yoga can be a practice. Now, that can be done as just an exercise where you just go in and, like, do the exercise and it feels good in the body, or you could actually do the practice of yoga. We have what we think of in the West as yoga is actually asana, which is one of the eight limbs of yoga. That's a whole other thing. There are lots of podcasts that talk about that. That's not this podcast. So intentional exercises, processes, and, well, practices that help shape the way our lives. This includes things like spiritual practice. That's something I think that oftentimes gets kind of glommed onto with practices, is that they're spiritual. Practices include spiritual practices, but not all practices are spiritual practices, even the ones that seem to be, right? So meditation can be a spiritual practice. It can also be a secular kind of psychological practice. And there's a whole, like, a lot of nuance in that too. If you ever listen to the fantastic podcast, The Emerald, he has a great episode called "The Revolution Will Not Be Psychologized," in which I think he would kind of come back on some of this stuff, which I'm fine with. I'm not wanting to go into that level of depth on this. I just want to point out for those who are, like, here practicing, go, like, "Ooh, isn't that spiritual?" Not necessarily. And I think meditation can actually be a really useful practice that doesn't have to have a spiritual component if what we're doing is using it to observe our thoughts and thinking and coming back, continue to come back to center so that we can actually develop that capacity in our day-to-day lives. So meditation, journaling, various somatic exercises, things like yoga and dance and other kinds of movement, prayer and contemplation are practices, and they, you know, can be useful. This is not an exhaustive list at all. There's lots of different kinds of practices out there. The point is that that's one of the definitions, right? That I bring forward with this. They are things that we weave into our day-to-day lives that can help us shape our life. Now, one thing I will say about them, part of the point of a practice, I believe, is to actually do it in a regular rhythm. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, right? Sometimes we're not. But like this morning, I had the experience of I got up and I have some morning routine like practices that I've been doing. It's about 30 minutes at the beginning of my day, and I've been doing them now for a little while. And this morning I woke up and I was like, I don't want to do my practice. And as I was walking downstairs, I reminded myself that the point of the practice is to do the practice, even when I don't want to do the practice. And I went and I did it, and I was grateful for it. So that's one of the things about practices, right? Is like, how do we actually make them something that we actually do, even when we don't feel like showing up for it? So folding this kind of practice, that these foundational or these like very intentional processes, exercise practices into our lives can help us make different choices in our moment to moment. So this is where the two definitions kind of intersect and merge. Those practices help us practice shaping the life that we want. So I want to name real quick, and to be very clear, there's no silver bullet here. I'm not talking about a silver bullet. Intergenerational and personal trauma are very real. So I'm not talking about things to just like bypass that kind of healing work and the going in and doing the hard work that happens in therapy and in other places. Medical conditions are real. So I'm not saying that this is like if, you know, when it comes to things like ADHD or depression, I'm not saying this overrides it. I'm just saying I think this stuff helps in life. I think it does. And I think as we are going into a challenging year, let's be honest, 2024 is likely to be kind of a challenging year, if only because of the political stuff that's happening around us, let alone other things that are happening in the world. Those of us tracking things in the world, we know how hard it feels right now. So I think it's important to be considering. So let me share a little something from my life. When I was in my late 20s, I was unhappy. I think I've talked about my 20s on this podcast before, just kind of what an emotional wreck I was. And I was really unhappy. I was in a pretty demanding job that required a lot of hours, required me to be social, which was hard. I really was struggling. I was having a really hard time. And in all of that, there were some things that I was practicing, right? I was withdrawing, you know, and some of that I think was related to depression. So going back to the idea that there's no silver bullet and medical conditions are real, depression is real, I was definitely experiencing that. And I was exacerbating it, I think. But I would withdraw. I was drinking too much. Like, so I had a really demanding job, but whenever I had time off, like nights out would be like, let's go get obliterated. And that was not uncommon in my 20s. I was smoking a lot. I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day at the peak of it. I was not like, so one thing I practiced was not moving my body, right? So it was like a kind of a lack of a practice, but it was a practice in the sense of like, you know, you kind of create that inertia of just like not moving. And just generally not taking care of myself, you know? Which you can get from like the not moving and the drinking too much and the smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. It was dark and not great. And I hit kind of a nadir where I was like, fuck this. Like, this is like not how my life, somehow I got enough clarity in myself that it was like, this isn't how I want my life to feel. Something needs to change. And I made two choices pretty close to each other. The first one was to go to therapy, which I recommend. And the second one was to go to yoga. I was living in Los Angeles and this new yoga studio had opened up like just around the corner from the house I was living in. And so I walked over there one day and took a class, and it was miserable, but I enjoyed it enough to go back to another class. And I think by the third or fourth class, I met the person who became my teacher, my primary teacher, and an eventual friend and mentor. And this wonderful, her name is Tara Judell. But therapy helped me see the patterns that were operating. It helped me get enough of a view on my life that I was like, okay, there are things that I'm doing here that are playing a role. And it introduced journaling, you know, and I had journaled over the years, but never like a real inquiry. It was more like a chronicle of, it was more like a dear diary, you know, like here's what sucks about my life, as opposed to an inquiry based practice. So therapy became important, and that became a practice, right? It became something I was doing on a regular basis for a while there during this period. When I was making this transition, I was going twice a week. But it's become something, and it's something that has been part of my life ever since. And then yoga became a place for me to slow down. I mean, at first it started off as like, oh, I guess it's an exercise. But then it became pretty clearly something, a place where I was going to be able to slow down enough to actually notice what was happening in my body and intentionally feel myself. And that practice, you know, really... yeah, it really did something for me. And it became a practice, right? Like, I started with like one or two classes a week, and I built it up to about five or six. And actually, like at its peak, you know, seven to more to plus. There were times when I would go to a couple classes a day. What started happening in doing that practice regularly was I started taking what was on, they talk about this in yoga, like practicing what you're doing in the practice off the mat. And I could feel it. Like, I could feel my body differently, which gave me kind of a slowdown in my day to day and to recognize I could make some different choices. I could make choices in those day to day. So the things I was practicing in my life, I could change them because I was able to feel myself differently because I had this practice. Does that make sense? You know, and so I started making different choices. I reduced the amount I was drinking. I wasn't going out to get obliterated. I'd go and get a couple of drinks with somebody and maybe not. I quit smoking. And that was, I feel like for me, it was kind of a fluke. I was lucky in the way I was able to do that. But I went out one night, I smoked too much. I didn't feel good. And I was like, fuck this, I'm done. And I haven't had a cigarette since. But that came, I'm positive, because of that practice that was happening on that mat. And then over time, more practices came. You know, in yoga, I was introduced to meditation practices and eventually met my meditation teacher. You know, my journaling became more reflective and more inquiry-based, and I was able to unpack a lot more. So one practice begat another practice, beget more practices. And I want to name, like, I'm not claiming to be some kind of a perfect practitioner of things, you know? And in a lot of ways, I'm actually, part of why I think I'm recording this today is earlier when I said, you know, I woke up and I didn't want to practice, right? And I got myself to my meditation cushion anyways, and I did my practice. But I still need the reminder, you know? So I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to anybody here. You know, it is a journey. This isn't a destination thing. This is a journey thing. It's a lifelong thing. I have stepped in and out of practice. I have had times when I didn't have any real kind of found like practices, intentional practices happening. And I was practicing things in my day to day that I didn't like. And there are still things I'm practicing in my day to day that I don't like. There are things that I am working on changing. Right now, one of those things is judgments of others. I am actually actively working on releasing judgments of all other people. I'm really trying into that. That's because it doesn't feel good in my body. I want to show up differently and even be able to hold those whom I vehemently, fervently disagree with in a different way that doesn't feel so critical in my body. And so that's a practice, working on that. And it, you know, so that's about engaging both of the definitions of practice, practicing in my day to day and having practices that support that. So that's a little bit from me, you know, my own personal thing. So what might that mean for you, for anybody listening to this? What do we do with this? Well, I'd start with a couple of questions. What am I practicing in my life? What am I practicing in my day to day right now? What do I notice? The things that the ways I'm showing up with other people, the way I'm interacting with folks, engaging with my spouse or my partner or my friends or the barista or the cashier, the person in traffic. And then, is that shaping the life that I want? Am I shaping the life that I want in my day-to-day moment-to-moment practices? And then, what might help me shape the life that I want? Right. You don't have to be an emotional mess like me, like I was, to make a decision that make a shift. You could be perfectly satisfied in your life and be like, yeah, and I'm not feel great about the way that I cut that guy off in traffic yesterday, or the way I talked to the telemarketer whose call I accidentally answered. I don't feel good about it, or anything really. So let's start there, you know, and get clear on what would feel good. You know, what do you want to shape? One way I think about this is like, what do I want the last years of my life to feel like, you know? And if I'm practicing things today that are going to be, that don't make me feel great, chances are I'm going to be doing those things in my last years. And is that how I want to live? When it comes to practices, then, you know, I think the thing that's important is to actually start doable and small. Like, don't overburden yourself. Like, if I had gone in and said, like, okay, I'm going to do 6 or 7 yoga classes a day from the get-go, I probably wouldn't have stuck. I probably would have made it at less than a week and then just never gone back. So start small. Set yourself up for success, you know, do the 1 or 2 yoga classes, meditate for 5 minutes, journal for 5 or 10 minutes. Maybe it's not every day. Maybe put yourself on some kind of a schedule that you know will work. I think it's really important to find the things that work for you. Identify one thing you can do, just one thing. It doesn't have to be huge, but see if you can connect that thing to the larger day-to-day practice. Let go of the idea of perfection. You don't need to be perfect. You know, I think that's something that most of us could work on in some way or another. Show up for yourself. Be there. Take care of yourself as you can. I think ultimately this is about becoming more conscious and intentional just in our day-to-day lives, right? That's really what we're doing here. I like this quote. It's not really a quote. I'm going to be paraphrasing a quote. There's a rabbi here in Seattle named Ted Falcon, who used to be he actually founded the congregation that I've gone to mostly here in Seattle, Bet Olive. And I used to hear him say something along the lines of the moments, the experiences we've had up to this moment, the ones we've already lived, that is our purpose, our destiny. And you know it's destiny because it's what happened and it's what got you here, right? Going back over the last X number of years and like going like, oh, if I'd only, that doesn't do any good. We made decisions. We had experiences that got us here. That's our destiny. Our free will, our choice now is what do we do with that? Right. And so we've practiced what we've been practicing. You know, I'm 51 years old. There are things I've been practicing for 50 years, for 40 plus years, for 30 plus years that I'm still looking at. And I'm like, oh, I need to undo that. And there's no point in me beating myself up about it. It's just like, okay, making the choices to practice something different. And that's a choice I can make right now. And like a meditation practice where the goal is always to just notice we've been distracted and return to the breath. This is the same thing. Notice where we've strayed and return to the practice. It can be that simple. So what do you want to practice? Okay, that is it. Those are my thoughts on practice right now. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate all of you who tune into this now infrequent, but hopefully soon to be back on a rhythm podcast. Really, really appreciate it. If you aren't a subscriber, I would love it if you'd subscribe. If you are a subscriber, I would love it if you would leave a review. That always helps to kind of make things more visible out in the world. Send it to a friend that might find this useful. I just appreciate that kind of support. If you have any questions, you want to comment or respond to any of this, I'd love to hear from folks. So hit me up at greg@gregorybflynn.com. Would love to know how this lands. What practices do you do? What have you been practicing? What are the practices you're trying to change in your life? Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day, evening, morning, whatever. And I will look forward to more soon. Bye.